Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. In case you don't know already, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. And so that's my warning note to all you guys. And so I wanted to give you something to panic about this morning. Reminder for the procrastinators who might be here in the house. The fact is, when it comes to Valentine's Day, I think that most people fall into three camps. You've got the folks who love it and who plan for it and who spend lots of money for it. And then you have the folks who shrug it off and say it's just another day of the year. And finally, there are those who roll their eyes at it because they hate the idea of a made-up holiday that promotes romance and shopping. And maybe there's a fourth camp, too, in which my youngest son falls because his wife's birthday is on Valentine's Day. And she says, "We don't do Valentine's Day, we celebrate my birthday." However, it's a shame that we don't celebrate love every day of the year. You see, it's easy. It's so easy for us to take our loved ones for granted. And so no matter which one of those three camps you fall into, I hope that you take some time every day to notice and appreciate the people who love you. Don't let a day go by without letting someone know that you love them and appreciate them. And yes, what's the symbol for Valentine's Day? You always think of a heart. Yeah, they're doing it, a heart. But I want you to forget about the tiny conversation hearts, even though there are billions of them. You know, those are the ones that have messages like "hot stuff" and "be mine." But as the choir sang this morning, "with all my heart." And I want you to imagine what the world would be like with a view from Jesus' heart. Because that's what he says. "I love you with all my heart." And you know, really, that's the goal of the Christian life, isn't it? To continually grow in our ability to view life through Jesus' heart. It changes our perspective entirely when we realize that the purpose of our life is not our own fulfillment, it's not our own happiness, but the purpose of our life is to live as Jesus lived. And that means sharing God, sharing his love with others. The purpose of our life is to do the good works that God created us to do. The purpose of our life is to represent Jesus' character and mission and message to the world. And you thought it was difficult buying a Valentine's present. What a challenge the Lord has put before us. And that's why today's lesson is appropriate for Valentine's Day, because Jesus' teachings, they come from a place of grace, of pure, unmerited, unearned love. You know, even his toughest teachings, the ones that make us squirm, they come from a place of love. And Jesus' words might seem challenging, even harsh in this passage. But what if we really were to view these words through Jesus' heart? Would that change the way that we respond to them? You know, before we understand this passage, we need to look at who Jesus was speaking to. Jesus had been teaching out on the countryside, and he'd been healing people, and a great crowd of people had come from all over Judea, and even from the Gentile towns of Tyre and Sidon. And Jesus was popular. Fact is, his ministry would be the envy of any pastor in our day, right up until the time that they crucified him. And in the midst of all of this excitement, Jesus turns and he directs these words, quite surprisingly, to his disciples. "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. And he says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that's how their ancestors treated the prophets. But he goes on to say, but woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that's how their ancestors treated the false prophets. Excuse me. Why did Jesus direct these words specifically toward his disciples? What did he want them and us to know? I want to suggest that the first thing that Jesus was telling them is that don't judge your life by your current circumstances, by what's going on around you. And remember that. Don't judge your life by your current circumstances. Don't set your heart on the things of this world, because that's not what you were made for. The fact is, your circumstances in life don't define you. But as you look at those circumstances, the big question is, do they drive you closer to God or further from God? Really, that is what is important. Remember, you got to remember that this is the moment when Jesus' star is shining. Crowds of people, they follow him wherever he goes, and they hang on every single word that he says. But Jesus didn't let his popularity go to his head. And he didn't want his disciples to think that following him was a great way for them to get and receive earthly rewards. In fact, the exact opposite was true. You know, it's so easy to let the good things in life, you know, things like good health and happy relationships and social acceptance and status symbols, it's so easy to let those things become the foundation for our attitude, for our worldview, even for our identity. But those pleasures, most of the time, they don't draw us closer to God. Oftentimes, those things actually drive us further away from him. So don't set your heart on the things of this world, because circumstances change. However, God's character and his promises, they are the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knew that his disciples would experience some times of great power, but also times of great persecution in their ministries. And so the first thing that he wanted to teach them is not to judge their life by those current outward circumstances. And the second thing that Jesus wanted to tell them is that, you know what? God is able to work even in painful circumstances. That's the perspective that we get if we would view our painful circumstances through the heart of Jesus. If we search for what God is teaching us in those circumstances, if we rely on God's power to sustain us in those circumstances, if we open ourselves to receiving God's mercy, even at the most painful times in our life, we'd be like a beggar holding out his hands to receive bread. And then we will see God at work, even in those painful circumstances. John Irving, the best-selling author and screenwriter, the fact is he begins every new novel by writing the last line of the book first. And he says once he's captured the last line of the book, then he's ready to begin telling the story, because he already knows the ending. And he's fully in control of the rest of the story. Well, I think that's the secret that Jesus tried to teach his disciples and us also, that he already knows the ending to the story. He already knows that he's going to die to reconcile us to God and to give us eternal life. He already knows that God has a kingdom prepared for those who love him. And he already knows that every painful circumstance that we face in this life, that it can be used to draw us closer to God's heart and to God's will and to God's purposes, if we only let it. And that's the second thing that Jesus is telling us in this passage. And the final thing that Jesus was telling them was that they should find their fulfillment in living for him. You know, there's a lot of places in this world that we can seek fulfillment. But there's only one place that you can truly find it. This world is not your home. You were made for eternal life with God, living in a world that's ruled by God's values and God's priorities. But what happens when we live the values and the priorities of God in this world? Because oftentimes the worlds collide. Oftentimes living God's priorities means that you won't fit in, that your habits, that your lifestyles are going to look different to your family and to your colleagues and to your neighbors. And people will question you and they'll talk about you and they'll reject you. I mean, the disciples didn't know it yet, but Jesus was calling them to make the ultimate sacrifice, to eventually die for the sake of following him. And he's calling us to do the same. And even if we never lay down our lives for Jesus, we are still called to sacrifice our priorities and our values and our will, and to replace them with the priorities and the values and the will of God. Yeah, you can look for and find happiness in chasing success and health and wealth and status and comfort and security. But the fact is, we're never going to find our fulfillment or our God-given purpose in those things. God made us to find our fulfillment and our purpose and our life in living for him. It's not going to be easy. Jesus was very clear about that. So don't set your heart on the things of this world. Set your heart on knowing God and living in his will. And you'll discover that God has made you, you'll discover what God really has made you for. And that's a life that's both abundant and eternal in its blessings. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.